You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:35 a.m. Set those alarm clocks. Early start this Saturday. Plenty of good racing to look forward to. We've got Betfair Chase Day at Haydock. That Grade 1 takes centre stage. Q-card bidding for a record-equalling fourth success in the race. We've also got good racing at Ascot, including the 1965 chase in the Coral Hurdle. Huntingdon and Lingfield alongside that in the afternoon. And evening action from Wolverhampton. Joining me in the studio is a very relaxed-looking Ross Briley. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, Mark. Unfortunately, the back on this chair has gone, so this is now... It feels a bit like a therapy session.
Are you well?
Well, I haven't been well since... I remember the day. I was 11 years old, and my dad he brought back a copy of the Daily Mail, and he said, "Can you pick out the Grand National winner?" And and I did.
And he's never been right.
He's never been right since. It wasn't my dad, actually. That's a slightly adapted true story.
Right.
Well, I picked out Party Politics. My granddad had 50p on it for me.
You were 18 at the time, though, of course.
Yeah, of course I was, yeah. I mean, I didn't go to the bookies myself. It was just me. I got on the top of the shoulders of two of my mates, put a big trench coat on. And went, "Can I have 50p on Party Politics, please?"
Very good, very good.
So there you go. I still do that now.
Yeah,
which is terrifying because the
world's most giant punter.
It's an 18-foot man
with a very squeaky voice.
Yeah, struggling to get in through the door.
Yeah, good. Let's talk about a bit of news, Ross, before we get stuck into some.
What have you got? What news? What news? What has been happening, Mark?
The big talking point in racing at the moment. Everyone seems to be.
There's always
about
a big talking point, and mostly it's nonsense. But go on.
Declaration of wind ops. Are you for or against?
How can you be against?
Well, some owners have voiced their concerns over it, haven't they? That it might harm the sell-on value of a horse and such.
But you can find, that's nonsense. You can find out. You find, you know, you just ask, if you go to the sales and don't ask, does anyone know anything about this horse, and you can't like kind of find out what they're dealing with it, then you shouldn't be. You probably shouldn't be buying horses, quite frankly. No, I don't think it will affect the sell-on thing. I think a lot of horses have wind ops now, and they're not major problems. The only way it will affect the sell-on is if it hasn't. Is
if it's had one and it hasn't had a positive effect.
Well, I think it will affect the price. Every piece of information in the public domain affects some things in some way. So it will affect it in the sense that a lot of horses who haven't had a wind up will now become more valuable potentially, because it'll be easier to find out, and they'll go, right, well, we thought this was a horse who looked like he had a wind problem, but it's at least something we can play around with. But yeah, and in the race, and every horse doesn't have an effect, but blinkers don't have an effect on every horse. A gelding operation doesn't have an effect on every horse, but you still have the information in the race card. You make your own decisions whether you follow that information or not. So, how can you be against it?
So you're for it then?
100? Can you tell?
Just wanted to clarify that very obvious point.
Yeah. And the most important thing for me, the most interesting thing for me, is not necessarily when a horse has had a wind up and people go, "This will improve." What I want to see is if a horse goes on to win and clearly improves for the wind up, you've got a reason. You go, right, that is a reason for it. Because a lot of the time you are left scratching your head wondering why a horse has suddenly gone on to win a handicap by 10 lengths when previously it wasn't getting home. And you can probably guess. You can look at the amount of time they've been off the track and the change in their, you know, if they've been off for 2 months and come back and were a changed animal,
yep,
you can probably assume that that's what's happened. But yeah, more information the better.
Yes. And the key word that's been mentioned, I heard Dale Gibson saying it with Sam yesterday, and it's a word that was used in the Racing Post, transparency.
Yeah, exactly.
As in, Everybody knows what's going on. So.
The worry for anyone in racing is that the people don't want change, and people are a generally secretive bunch. Understandably so in many cases, because things do get kind of blown out of proportion, and you just want to kind of get on with it. But we do live in an age of never being able to get on with anything without somebody knowing about it. So yeah, wind ops. Yeah. Let's get them in the race car. Let's get horses in foal in the race car. Let's get horses who had some grapes for breakfast. Let's have everything you can get.
Let's give horses Facebook, because everybody puts everything on Facebook.
Yeah.
And therefore we'd know if they were in foal, we'd know if they've had a wind up.
I agree.
Yeah.
But how would they? They struggle to take selfies, wouldn't they? another phone smashed.
Yeah. Maybe so. It's a flawed system. Anyway.
Maybe.
Thistlecrack's back soon as well. That's news that's caught my eyes.
He is.
Supposed to be back at Newbury next week. Good to see him back. Hopefully he's the same animal that we saw before he got injured.
Well, I mean, he will be the same animal. otherwise, I mean, there's a whole existential question to talk about there. It's got a bit Trigger's Broom, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
You know Trigger's Broom?
Yeah, same handle. It's only I've replaced handle four times or whatever, and then three times.
Well, I often thought when, you know, I remember reading about Tony McCoy, that Tony McCoy broke every bone in his body, and I was like, does that mean that you're not the same person? Because you broke all your bones and they've refused and changed in different ways. So Tony McCoy's skeleton is probably completely different to what it was before he started riding, just because everything's been cracked and broken in various ways.
Yeah.
So Tony McCoy is a human Trigger's Broom. But yeah, fingers crossed Thistlecrack comes back on tip-top form, because he's a right old monster, isn't he?
He is. He's a monster. Absolute monster. I hope he comes back, and then we if he turns up King George along with Mike Bite and everything
Mike
else.
Mike Bite will beat him. He is a monster, Thistlecrack, but Mike Bite is a monster on...
He's a quirky monster.
It's even better, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. So, yeah.
We're all like things with a little flaw.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. It makes it interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Plus, it makes you feel more comfortable with your own flaws if you see someone or something very talented but with clear demons. You go, "Yeah, it could be that."
Yeah,
I
need the talent, but I've got the demons.
yeah, but in the back of your mind, you can always convince yourself that you just haven't done it yet. Yeah, I could do that. I've just chosen not to.
This is an insight into Ross in the pub. There, I think
that's it. I could be Keith Richards. But I just like the drink, but not the guitar. I could have been a contender.
Brilliant.
That's what I say in every pub, and they go, "In what?" And you go, "Anything."
Name it, I'll do it.
I'll play the oboe. I'll be the world's best oboist. Oboist?
A hoboist. Yeah. I think it is.
Oboist.
Oboist. Do you not say the H? Hobo?
Hoboist.
Oboe, hobo.
You don't say the H. No, it's an oboe.
Is it an oboe?
A hobo is a slang term for a homeless person.
It is.
An oboe is an instrument.
Does it not have a H on the front?
No, because that would make it a hobo, which is something very different. A hobo with an oboe would be very confusing.
It would. I think we're getting lost, so let's move on to Saturday's racing. Real superb Saturday as well, Ross.
Yes.
We'll have a quick look at the Betfair Chase to start with.
Do it.
Some of the good races at Ascot, and you've got a strong opinion by the sounds of it in the last 3:15 at Ascot, so the penultimate race there. So we'll move through them, but we'll start with the Betfair Chase. Before we get into it, it's a race that's thrown up some magnificent winners over the years. Favourite Betfair Chase memory? Do you have one?
I can't remember any of them. I hate these things, but I'm going to have to look up this up now.
Cortel Stars won it four times. Cards won it three times.
I just don't live in the past. This is the thing. No, I don't have one. I flat out refuse to have one.
All right, well, Cortel Stars' last victory in the race. That was one of the greatest race days I've ever had, ever. It was superb. I went with Stephen Powell. We cuddled.
You cuddled?
We didn't really. I'm lying. But it was a superb day. The scenes after he won, people running to the winner's enclosure, people climbing the lampposts and stuff like that. It was like...
Wow.
It was like the return of a hero.
Yeah, well, yeah, fair enough, yeah. See, I don't have anything to contend with that. I like the race, but it's not... it's not my yeah. It's all right.
It's all right.
Well, it's all right. For grade ones, it's an hors d'oeuvre, isn't it? It's a grade one hors d'oeuvre. It starts. You go right. Okay, that's got your blood pumping for the rest of the season. So. Yeah. I don't have a memory of it necessarily.
Okay, the betting for this year's renewal, Bristol Dumai is the favourite, but is drifting out to 11-8 now. Q card into 2-1, 5-1 for Outlander, 10-1 T for 2, 16s Traffic Fluid, and Sean Two Flyer, the outsider, at 50-1. A couple of questions for you here, Ross. Q card, should he win? Will equal Corto Star's record as the winning most horse in this race ever? Can he do it, or will the younger legs of Bristol Dumai or Outlander or another get the better of him?
I think the switch in jockeys is a very, very good move. He'd clearly just, him and Paddy have just kind of, I think they just lost confidence in each other a little bit. So I think the switch to Harry Cobden is a good move. Every time I think Q Card has not gone at the game, but has lost some of his luster, he comes out and proves me wrong. But he's not as good as he used to be. He can't be. He's 11 years old. He's slightly on the downgrade. They went crazy for him when he won at Ascot last season again. But I can remember watching the race and thinking, he's beat nothing here. Then again, he hasn't got a great deal to beat this this time around. But I really like Bristol Dumai. I like him in particular conditions, and he's going to get those conditions this weekend. I think that's the key thing for him. Some horses are superstars. Some horses excel under particular conditions. And he loves it here at Haydock. He loves a left-handed galloping track with soft ground, so he can and he travels beautifully in those conditions, and that's exactly what he's going to get. I think he's very, very hard to beat under those I keep saying conditions, but I can't think of another word for it. What is another word for conditions? No, it's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, put it this way, I think he'll win
Under these conditions,
yeah, specifically, yeah.
Bristol Dumai to win the Betfair Chase in Ross's opinion. Then let's move over to Ascot. We'll look at three races there in a little bit more detail. The 1965 Chase is the first race we'll look at there. It's a 2 mile, 5 furlong grade two. We have a field of 9 set to go to post for this year's renewal. Again, the list of past winners for this race is superb. We've got the likes of Masterminded on there, Captain Chris, Alpha Roth, Vator won it a couple of years ago as well. This year's renewal, Smad Place is the favourite at 3-1, 130 Top Notch, Top Gamble is 11-2, 9-1 Frodon, Flying Angel is 9-1 as well, and 10-1 are bigger prices for the remainder.
I like Top Notch. In this, he came back with an okay run over hurdles last time out behind, you know what I mean, Harry. He kind of had the run of the race, but it was quite obviously a pipe opener for him. Last season on his chasing debut, he got beat by Charbel in a race at Utoxeter, and then came back 3 weeks later and bolted up. So I'm hoping a similar thing applies to him this season. He likes the track. He's 2 from 2, albeit over in a modest hurdle and chase. But he really impressed me last season, and in particular in the in midwinter chases, he looked like a horse who'd kind of overcome his quirks, because he does have a few. But he's a strong traveller. He likes the track, and he should come on for that run. Smad Place loves the track as well. He's 2-2-1 here at the. At Ascot, and he ran an absolute blinder, obviously, to get the better of Cloudy Dream last time out at Aintree, but he's getting on a bit now at the age of 10. And the likes of Frodon and Joss's Hill will also have conditions to suit here, but might not be quite good enough. I thought Top Notch was a top notch bet. A top notch bet.
Top Notch is currently 130 in the market. We'll move on to the 240 next. This is the Coral Hurdle. It's a 2 mile, 3 furlong grade two. We've got 5 of them in the lineup for this one. Again, look at the list of winners for this. Hardy Eustace, a dual champion hurdle winner. You've got Annie Power, a champion hurdle winner. Faheen, Rock on Ruby, both champion hurdle winners. You see the theme here? Yanworth won it last year. Yanworth won it last year for JP McManus. He's got the favourite for this year's renewal in Defida Soy, who's 4-5. Lamy Serge is 3-1. Lil Rockefeller 3-1 as well. 40's Wakea, and De Cosimo is the outsider at 50-1. Defida Soy unbeaten over hurdles. Won the Triumph. Won the 4-year-old hurdle at Aintree as well. Interesting to see how he gets on a reappearance.
Yeah, I don't have a huge opinion on this race necessarily. Again, I think it's a bit of a watching brief just to see how Defida Soy gets on against the older horses. He, as I said, he was a good horse last year. He consistently put in rock solid performances. And even when, to be fair, I thought at Cheltenham that he might find one or two too good. I thought he was going to be up against a decent field, and he destroyed him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'd be very hard to beat. He's clearly a very likeable horse. And, yeah, he's... Last time a four-year-old won this, Silvio Narco Conti back in 2010. It's not necessarily been an obvious target for the former juveniles in the past few seasons. But he's got Lamy Surge, who's as quirky as the gum, to beat. Again, a very talented horse, but he's got his issues. A little Rockefeller, ideally wants further. So he should be winning. But, yeah, he's one to just see how he is after a summer off.
Hopefully he picks up where he left off and he'll remain unbeaten, which would be something. Let's go to Ascot again for the 3:15. This is a handicap chase. 2 miles, the extended 2 miles is the trip for this. And Cider Grugy is the market leader. No, it's not, actually. San Benedito is the market leader. I correct myself. 100-30.
It was this morning.
Yeah, Cider Grugy out to 7-2. 4-1 quite by chance. Upsilon Blur 6-1. 9-1 for Dandridge. And 10-1 are bigger prices for the remainder. Cider Grugy won this race last year, but I suppose similar with what we said about Q-Card earlier on, he's getting on a bit now. Is he going to be the same horse this time around?
Possibly. He ran well enough on his reappearance last month behind the new one at Foss Lass. Clearly getting the old cobwebs blown off. Yeah, he's £5 higher than last year. He's 11 years old. I'd be willing to swerve him. I thought there was a crack in each way. Here in the shape of Sipage for Venetia Williams, who is in the yard in good form. They've just started to click back into to gear. She had a double the other day over at she had one at Chepstow and one at Warwick on the same day the other day. Started life for this yard last season at Newbury and absolutely bolted up on its first start. Lumped up in the weights after that. Fell on its return to action after that when it wasn't necessarily beaten, then got beat behind a very much informed horse in Sperodek, and then seemed to have just had enough for the season, albeit in a race against two very talented horses in the spring. But I think the track will suit. First start for the season as well. As I said, he burst into life last season. He's off a lightweight. Venetia Williams has got a fantastic record at this track in handicap chases. And he looks a worthy each way play, I think.
11-1.
There you go. Happy with that, buddy. Nice. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
I will. I'll have a Sipage 11-1 pipe.
Do it.
Thanks. Best bet of all those.
Sipage looks like a good each way bet. Yeah, yeah. He potentially could go either way. He could be boom or bust, but he's not a particularly glamorous horse as opposed to a few of these in this race. So he might be underrated.
Thank you very much, Ross. It's been a pleasure as always. Best of luck to you and enjoy it on Saturday.
Oh, Mark, how can you not?
How can I not? Well, how can I not enjoy it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can I not?
That's fair enough. I don't know why.
I don't know. So that seemed a reasonable. Yeah.
I thought you were just being very unmodest and like, how could you not enjoy my company?
Well, that as well.
Yeah. Thanks. That's Ross. Exiting the building. You can hear all of the action on Saturday on Racing Radio from 11:35 a.m. Dave Kellner, James Millman and Kevin O'Malley. The team in the studio, Haydock, Ascot, Huntingdon and Lingfield, the meetings in the afternoon, and we have Wolverhampton in the evening as well. And some real, real top class jumps racing to look forward to in there, including the Grade 1 Betfair Chase and some superb Grade 2s at Ascot. Don't miss the action. Join us here on William Hill Racing Radio, and thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.